I've got two questions, and either one can tackle them. The first one was to do with what sort of action can be taken in terms of the international community to prevent a state from taking this type of action in a sovereign country. So what are the possible pathways in terms of, say, the International Criminal Court, say, the United Nations, or perhaps some other avenue? My second question is to do with domestic politics in the sense of the feasibility of creating a Department of Peace and Democracy which has a focus on conflict resolution as a central organising feature of this department, therefore a focus on promoting non-violence in the community at all levels and also in our dealings internationally, so that Australia can position itself as a country that actually resolves problems rather than following other countries into problems. Would either of you like to comment on those two questions?
I've got the first one, you can have the second. As I said, the only way of legally taking action against heads of government is for other heads of government to really do it. The United Nations, as you know, is structured in a way which allows the United States and four other countries to veto any Security Council resolutions that they wish to. Attendance at the International Court of Justice is voluntary. Compliance with the decisions of the International Court of Justice is voluntary. Nicaragua took the US to the ICJ in 1984 and won a case, and the United States just ignored the verdict and buried the findings in page 43 of the New York Times. So there's virtually nothing that can be done from a legal point of view to constrain the United States. But what may happen, and what tends to happen in unipolar systems, the one like we have at the moment, is that other countries get together out of sheer terror, frustration, anger, or some sort of concern to pool their resources to frustrate the other aspects of the US diplomatic agenda. And I didn't mention in the talk that one of the extraordinary things was to see during the period prior to the war, the French, German, and Russian political leaders joining together in a common concern about Bush's policy of preemption. So what you tend to see with these sort of power balancing systems is that others who feel concerned about the US's preeminent power in the world may find that they are driven together by a common concern. But from a legal instrumental point of view, extremely little that can be done to constrain the US. What will ultimately defeat the US is probably the limits of its own power, which the Bush administration doesn't seem to completely understand.
What you talk about in terms of democracy building, in terms of conflict resolution, in terms of addressing the real issues that will bring us security in our region and globally, are all things that are central to the defence policy the Greens have, for example, and our fundamental shifts from where we are now. But I don't think that needs to rule out for us the capacity of heading in that direction. There are US presidential candidates who are running on a similar platform in relation to ministries of peace operating there as well. So there's international support, whilst not at the level we'd like to see it at the moment.